going to start. We're going to talk a lot about Rosh Hashanah as a preparation for Rosh Hashanah. And, okay, you put it on pause, right? All right, we're going to have some video. And because it's 22 day of the month of Av, we know that this is also the birthday of my teacher. So normally it's a positive day. My teacher is no longer with us. So I found a short video, or Debbie found it, a short video about Rosh Hashanah as a preparation and as a promise on every Thursday that I'm going to use the word try or make an effort to share a different concept for my teacher. And hopefully you'll find it, fulfilling for you. So before I put the video, before we're talking about it, just the explanation of what is Rosh Hashanah. Because there is a very misconception about Rosh Hashanah. People think that Rosh Hashanah is some kind of a new year. But if you say, you look at the new year of the Hebrew calendar, it starts in a month that's called Nisan. The month Tishrei is the seventh month. It's not Rosh. It's not the beginning. Nisan, the month of Aries, is the beginning. That's why the Israelites left Egypt in the month of Nisan. So why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah actually all about? What happened? What's the event that took a place that has become it? You know, Rosh Hashanah. And the idea, what the Ari explained to us, Rabbi Isaac Luria, explained that Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adam and Eve were created. So Adam and Eve were created in Rosh Hashanah. Who is Adam and Eve? The first human. So what are we celebrating in Rosh Hashanah? The first human being created. So when we are celebrating the concept of the first human being created, what are we supposed to celebrate at that day? So if you look at the Torah, and I hope you look after this lecture, it doesn't say that Adam was created alone and Eve was created alone. It says, Adam unekeva bara otam. He created them together. But of course, we come up with a story and we think we saw the right movie about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then he said that Eve took a rib from Adam. And of course, now we know that Adam was created first. Rib in Hebrew, tzela. Tzela binyan. It doesn't necessarily mean rib. It can be side. So the Gemara, the Talmud, the Zohar explained that they were created back to back. They were actually created together. And then the separation between two of them took a place on Rosh Hashanah. So the whole creation and the separation and everything, in fact, happened on Rosh Hashanah. So every Rosh Hashanah, because time is not linear, time is circular. Remember that. Time is not linear. You are not 37 years old. You are, every birthday, you are day old or zero old. I don't know how to address it. Meaning because time is circle, you always meet your birth. That's why it's called birthday. The day that you were born. Okay? The day that you were born. So most people say, I'm 45, I'm 60. You can never get more than a 1 year old. It's a good news, right? You can only be 1 year old because time is circle. How many times you have been in that circle? That's a different question. But time is always circle. You always go back. If you start here, you always get back. See, if you're born on March 3rd, on March 3rd, you're becoming again. So it's circle. Rosh Hashanah, you're going back to what? To Adam and Eve birthday. So what can you do? What's the purpose of that? We blow the shofar, we eat an apple with anima. What is all this tradition? Oh, mitzvot. And the idea is very simple. We are human. I don't know if you remember that. We are human. We happen to be human. The human, we go back to the seed level. The seed level happened, Rosh Hashanah. What we asking in Rosh Hashanah? Zachrenu lechaim, please remember us for life. Katvenu lechaim. Right? Why in Rosh Hashanah? Why don't you ask it during the summer? People have nothing to do. Going to the beach, see the Santa Monica, have your pineapple juice, drink, look at the sky, say, God, please write me in the book of life. You have to do it in a certain day where Adam and Eve were created. But unfortunately, with religiosity took away a lot from spirituality. Religiosity means, I want to make sure I'm not confusing you. Religiosity means, person put yarmulke, put tzitzit, put tefillin, become religious. And then sometimes you're so religious that you forget even there is God included in that meditation. You meditate, but it's between you and yourself. With the time, you forget God. It's become you and yourself. Spirituality gives you the why, gives you the meaning. Take you back to why you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, what's the purpose? If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, it's dry. It has no value. So you're going back now to the seed level of creation. When actually what took a place? Something amazing took place. The first human were created. So every Rosh Hashanah, I hope you celebrate this year. Every Rosh Hashanah, when you go, you don't go for the show if everybody else is going. You go, now you know why you're going. And any rabbi challenge you, tell them, why you call it Rosh Hashanah? Why you say Happy New Year? Happy New Year on the 7th month? How can you say Happy New Year on the 7th month? Right? Happy New Year, 7 months. And of course, there is meaning why it's 7. I cannot go into all details. So because it's the birthday of my teacher, so I found a cute video. So a lot of people, because of the misconception of Rosh Hashanah, look at it like religious holiday or religious event. And again, we need to remember that the idea of Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about a holiday that taking care of everything that you're wishing for from a quantity point of view, not from a quality point of view, quantity. Remember, quality is being taken care by Passover. That's why it's called the seder, to arrange the life. And quantity is being done by Rosh Hashanah. How long you're going to live, how much money you're going to have, everything is being done by Rosh Hashanah. Now, I would like to bring to you a letter from many, many years ago, written from the famous, the first Rabbi Yehuda Ash, like there is many after him, but that's the first. And I'm going to skip the part where he's tough on his student. I don't want to read that part because it might be misunderstood, okay? But he happened to be tough. But he writes about how to start becoming spiritual. What's the way to go? Should you find out what's wrong with you and change it? Or should you find how great you are and change the part which are not so great? So he go like that. It say, we pray on Rosh Hashanah, Zachenu lechaim melech chafetz b'chaim, write us for the book of life, and remember us for the book of life. She'inyan ktiva utamid b'dyo shachor al gabei niyar levan. The normal way is to take a black ink and write with the black ink whatever you want to write on top of a white paper. That's a normal what you do. So we need to understand that. And that's what he write. V'inyan lavan hu hazman shel Torah ve'avodah. We know the inyan lavan, the idea of white, hu hazman shel Torah ve'avodah. When we become spiritual, when we work on ourselves, is called lavan. It's like the paper. V'zman shachor, when we talk about the ink, the black, aynu b'chinat ara v'ashfelut, sh'adam margish b'atzmo. Sometimes we feel bad. We feel bad about ourselves. Those days that you feel depressed, you hate yourself, you don't like yourself, can be dangerous. Can be very dangerous for spiritual people. A lot of people like to beat themselves up. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Can you handle what's wrong with you? If you cannot handle what's wrong with you, then don't beat yourself up. Because sometimes you cannot get out of it. From time to time, you should crush yourself. You should put it on your schedule. Let's say daily, 11 to 11:15, crush yourself. After 11:15, 11:16, you are the best person in the world. Okay? Not to say I'm not so good all day long. Some people crush themselves from morning to night. So what left? Nothing left. שאדם מרגיש והשחרות הזו צריכה להיות מוקפת לבן. כל עוד ועוד. Say, take the Torah. If you take the scroll of the Torah, you see the black letter. Why do you see the black letter? Because they've been written on a scroll, on a parchment. The parchment is white, and that's why the letter appear. But the parchment is basically, think about it, is most of what the Torah is. Whatever has not been written on is the parchment. That's the main thing. What is the parchment? It's the lavan. If a person, so we continue here. ואז נבחנת הכתיבה שהיא קשורה. משאין כך סתם שחרות. If you are all day long excited about your spirituality, excited about helping others, excited about being kind. We are coming to the month of Elul before Rosh Hashanah, excited that I'm capable to forgive each person. Each person. Can you imagine that you forgive everybody? The one who hurt you, the one who's not nice to you, you forgive them. How free you are. You are free. Celebrate that moment. I'm able to forgive every human being in my life. That's a great moment. So, some people become shachrut, kadrut, depression, sadness, problem, feeling bad about themselves. It's not create contribution. It's not create contribution. But, listen to that. It's a little bit, there is a little twist here. Rav Ashlag writes like this. When a person is not spiritual, then the kadrut, the depression, can come from a place of what we call klipot. It's called halal aklipot. And I need to explain it. Let's say if you work on yourself spiritually and you find what's wrong with you and you want to change it, then it's not a problem for you to recognize what's wrong with you, and through that, slowly, slowly, you will change it. But if you are not working on yourself and you find out what's wrong with you, what ends up happening, it's come from the klipot. Toda rava. Toda rava. Wow. I get a gift. Toda. Toda. So, the idea is when we get to a place that we are working on ourselves, let's say you're generous. You're going around the city, you give everybody a bagel or a food or something. And you get excited to help people. At that day, you might find out what's wrong with you. What is it that you need to change? That type of shachut, that type of sadness, is a positive thing because you have enough good things that you are doing. I see that that bothers us. I don't know how to close it. I think I did good. So, that bothers us from getting into a place of working on ourselves. But if the person is truly not working on themselves, all day long they selfish. They're waiting for the guy with the bagel to knock on the door. When they see what's wrong with themselves, they think, oh, Eliyahu said we get becoming spiritual if I see what's wrong with me. No, that comes from the dark side. So there is two times you can see what's wrong with you. One time, after you did the spiritual work, and one time when you are so selfish, and that's what you become depressed. So a lot of time I meet spiritual people, or people who want to be spiritual, and they say, wow, I feel down, I feel depressed, I think I'm getting closer to the light. And it's not necessarily, depends what you did. You know if you're for real or not. The yarmulke doesn't make a difference. And what's the real change is internal. Religion is not a change. What is religion? It's some custom that you put. You put some custom. Some wear a hat, some have yarmulke, some put tefillin, some put Hanukkah candle. It's a custom. But the spiritual work is tough. It's between you and yourself. It's real. It's tough. Go love somebody you don't like to you don't love. That's spiritual. That's a tough part. You know? And I have a group we got together now from elementary school where I grew up. And they reach out and they collect all of us in one group. And I remember I heard somebody from that group. His name is Yossi. So I was so happy for that group that I can apologize to him. So I was looking for his number, found him. He doesn't remember. I said, Yossi, when we were 12, I called your name and it was very insulting. And I cannot let it go. I cannot forgive myself, actually. And Rosh Hashanah is coming. I actually selfishly do it for me. Can you help me? And he said, stop it. I said, no, I can't stop it, please. He said, it wasn't a big deal. I said, it was a big deal for me. We all hurt you. You cry. It was not nice. And I want to apologize. All the group want to apologize. And the idea, when you apologize, you don't do it for the other person. You do it for you. Because if you not forgive and being forgiven, you know what happened? You're stuck in the same place for the rest of your life. If you can forgive your father, your mother, wife, husband, friend, you never move from that time. If it happened in 1999, you are in 1999. Nothing happened. You're still there. Life continues, but you are still there. So forgiving is a very important thing. So is that clear, the part about two types of sadness? Was that clear? Okay. Now, I want to bring you another point. Okay. Now, the idea, it's written also, again, Rosh Hashanah, that everybody become tzaddik. Tzaddik, the word tzaddik means righteous, but the word righteous have to be explained. Rav Ashlag explained that the word righteous come from the word matzdik, darko shel bore olam, meaning that what is tzaddik is not just a person, again, the custom look too religious, it's a person who just justified that everything is perfect. Whatever you ask him, it's the best thing that can happen. But you're losing money, best thing that can happen. Best thing that can happen. How could that be the best thing that can happen? So I'll tell you now a personal story. I think I told it once, but it's good to tell it again. So I was 1992, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, that was the year I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We went to try to build spirituality there. No habla español, so there was no point. Only Ivrit, Hebrew, Hebreo, and English. My English was not that good then. And we go in there. Mistake happened. They mistaking us, the government mistaking us to be terrorists. It's a true story, it was on the news. So 1992, they're arresting us with Yarmulke, with everything, as we are the terrorists that explode the Israeli embassy. It was exploding the Israeli embassy, and they take me as the head of the terrorists. It's a true story, you should look it up. And I don't speak Spanish, that's a problem. Just to let you know, I'm opening the door, I remember the day, it was Purim, snipers on the roof, that was the news, our pictures. And so my friend just reminded me, he lives in Brazil, as you remember what he told us on the way to prison. So of course I remember. And he always reminded me. And I said, whatever happened to us right now is the best thing that can ever happen to us right now. And I remember they speak in Hebrew, say, must speak, no must speak. You know, enough with your spirituality. Right now it's not the time to talk. So this is the time. So we're getting into, they put us into the cell. They take our passport. I try to explain, I'm Israeli. Why would I do something to the Israeli? I'm Israeli. Here, I'm Israeli. No, it's fake and this. So on the way in, my friends start crying. It's very scary. You're going into prison, you see things that it's not pleasing to the eyes. And so I shake the hand of the guy who take our stuff and check us in like hotel, you know? And I shake his hand and I said to him in Hebrew, like I went crazy all the way, like I believe all the way it's going to be good. So I said to him, Shalom Alechem, you know, in Hebrew. Yeah. And he looked at me and say, Alechem Shalom. He answered in Hebrew. I said to my friend, you see, something is going on here. We're going in, I asked him if I can take my Megillat Esther with me. Said, can I? They check it, it's all okay. So I'm reading Megillat Esther in the cell. 5 hours later, they send from the government of Israel, they send people to recognize if we're Israeli. They don't even open the thing. They through the window, they talk to us. So they talk. My friend answered in Hebrew a juicy curse. And that was it. That was recognized that we are absolutely Israeli. So like I said, ask us a few questions. I'm so sorry, mistake. But the problem, the picture is still on the paper. You know, so people, till tomorrow, we are the suspicious, I don't know how you say it, three suspicious Israelos, I don't know how you say it, but the picture is there, we have beer, we look weird, you know, the picture didn't come out black and white. So we look dangerous, and it was Thursday night, so it's not so good because you have Friday, I have to walk to the synagogue, the whole thing is not good. We try to do something spiritual in South America. But the truth of the matter, 3 weeks tried, nothing worked. Nothing. Zero result. We're getting into the apartment again. We laugh, we cry, we sad. Then we say, I said, you guys, I still believe whatever happened to us is the best thing that ever happened. Said, okay. We do our pray, and we send it, we take turn who's buying water. Agua mineral, right? I mean, that's how you say, agua mineral. My friend go. His name is Jonathan, he's the only one who speaks Spanish. He's going there, we pray. Jonathan is not coming back. 25 minutes, it's across the street. Now we worry, we live in the 8th floor. Maybe the news, people saw, they didn't get the news that it's not us. Now we are the terrorist. So we're opening the balcony. We're looking down. See my friend Jonathan, 4 TV channel, about 10 radio channel, all the journals, all the magazine, everybody, the camera, and they keep asking him what happened, why you've been arrested. And every time they ask him something, he answers, well, spirituality is a very important thing for you. We were 2 weeks live in every channel. 2 weeks live, every channel, just to let you know. That's how we start actually to get spirituality out there. You check it out, 92, it was in March. It was unfortunately, I'm saying it in a funny way, but it was set part because it was a church of kids next door to the embassy. It was a kids' church, and half of the embassy went down, also the church. And I went there because you have to do a blessing after a miracle like this happened. I went back to the place after it was destroyed to say the bracha for miracle, blessing for miracle. Why am I sharing with you this story? The idea is, when you come to Rosh Hashanah, if you have a desire to go, you have first to celebrate that desire. When you have a desire to do something good, that's not because you're smart, that's not because you thought of it, it's because we believe, Kabbalists, spiritual people believe, it's an invitation from the divine, it's an invitation from the creator. Meaning, there is a force out there that will invite you to do something spiritual. Why do you want to do good to others? Why do you want to forgive? Why do you want to share? Why do you want to hug somebody who has pain? Why? We don't believe that that energy came from within. We believe that that energy came from above, from the divine, and that force called the divine invite you to do good, wonderful thing. So the Kabbalist Rav Ashlag said, why we not celebrate just that? You come to pray, you come to Rosh Hashanah, you come to do whatever you will come to do, dance. Just be happy that you even thought about doing something good. And he described, he said, but God forbid, when somebody been invited to dinner, you never see somebody being depressed when he invited to the most fancy restaurant with the most expensive wine, with the most expensive drink. Oh, celebrate, oh yeah, I drink that, the best steak, the best. Why? Why is it not the same with spirituality? Simply because we have two forces, guys. We have the force of the body and the force of the soul. The force of the body is limited. It's not allowing us to be who we really are. The force of the body is the addictive part of our being. The force of the soul is the loving part of our being. When we love, it's coming from the soul. When we hate, when we're jealous, when we're upset, it's come from the body. So every human being has two personality. So you should not feel bad if you feel like you have a split personality. It's actually normal. One side of you is selfish. One side of you is the most giving side. You know, is the other night I was invited to listen to a show, a jazz show. I'm not big on jazz, but I went because I was invited with a wonderful person. So I'm sitting there, and unfortunately he asked the bad question, and I don't know how to lie. So it was downtown. So how do you like it, huh? Amazing! I didn't say no, I didn't say yes. So he was pushing. You like it? I said, I like all music. I'm not big on jazz. Not big, so what bothered you? I said, bothered me that, I don't know if you know about music, but the rhythm is different. You know, they play G7 and this, so the rhythm is the drummer can play, I don't know, 3/4, and this will be 1/8. So it's different. It's a very unique thing. Genius people can grasp it. I don't grasp it. I don't. I'm not in that level. Not in that mandriga. Not in that level yet. And after the show, you know, it's a very nice place in downtown. I don't know if you know that. It's a restaurant that the owner doesn't speak, right? He's mute for 30 years or something. You never heard of that? It's a vegan place. Should go visit. It's a unique idea. And they bring band, and they play, and it's a vegan place that the owner is took it himself not to talk, but I don't remember the place. And he said, music is great, sometimes jazz, sometimes something else. But the idea is, the universe is operating in so many levels. So there is things that you like, there is things that you don't like. Be authentic, be real who you are, and don't be ashamed of something that you're not. flow with the frequency of who you are. You can only be as good as who you are. When people come to Rosh Hashanah and they start beating their heart like this, Chatanu, Pashanu, and they start feeling bad, they think that God's going to forgive them because they feel bad. That's not how it works. The opposite. Get excited. You've been invited to the party called Rosh Hashanah. Get excited. You've been invited to the palace of the king. What are you doing? Oh, I'm so depressed. I'm such a bad person. Such a bad person. Don't say I'm such a bad person now. Do it a little bit before. And when you come to the party, dress nice, be nice. You're standing in front of the Creator, in front of the Divine. Get excited. It's a big moment. Unfortunately, people do it on Rosh Hashanah. They get depressed. So they give us apple with honey. So get the honey, but you have to last for 48 hours. It's a 48 hours that you're supposed to be super excited about the opportunity that you can actually write yourself into the book of life. So, the idea is when the Talmud writes that every person who comes into Rosh Hashanah, some people end up being wicked, righteous, or mediocre. And that's what he writes. He writes that when a person thinks that he's bad, he has no chance. When a person thinks that he's righteous, then there's no point even to do the prayer. When a person thinks he's a mediocre, then he hopes for mercy from above and everything will be okay. The idea is to think like that. And I hope with my words to your ears, it will work. Do you really believe that you can become a better person? Do you believe that you can make next year better than this year? That's a question I have for you. Do you believe? Do you believe that actually there is hope that next year can be better? I mean, if we look at last year, you make promises. You keep mostly none of them. And maybe you did something worse. Do I believe that I can make it a bit better? And I asked it to my teacher once. And because it's his birthday, I would like to mention him as much as possible. And I asked him, how does he do it? And he answered me, I only try to change one thing a year. So I know many smart people who try to change 1,000 things a year. And then nothing happened. You change one thing, one, only one. Work on one thing. What is your issue? Jealousy? All year just work on jealousy. Anger? Anger. Being cheap? Being cheap. Whatever it is, this one thing, you work on that, the rest will happen. But if you work on too many things, nothing happens. Is it make sense? Does it make sense to you? Rav Ashlag is telling us that every Rosh Hashanah, you give birth to a new person. How does the new person look like? Do you want to correct yourself and make yourself better? Or do you want to rebirth, meaning give birth to an all new person that never have been here before? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Be real with yourself when you're alone. I always tell my kids, you want to lie to God? Lie to God. You want to lie to me? Lie to me. You want to lie to people? Lie to people. But in the end of the day, do me a favor. Tell the truth to yourself. In the end of the day, everybody lies. But don't lie to yourself. One person you can never lie to is yourself. God will forgive you if you lie. I will forgive you if you lie as a parent. Your friend will forgive you. But how can you forgive yourself if you tell yourself things that is not true? With the time, you're even going to forget who you are. And then you try to change something you're not even that. So I hope this is clear as a preparation for Rosh Hashanah to get us into a place that we start changing. Now, a few more pieces of information. When we get to Rosh Hashanah, it say, לכן בראש השנה האדם מתחיל את עבודתו מחדש. And it says, צריכים להיזהר לא להיות חס ושלום בורח מהמערכה. I will translate in a second, I'm sorry. כדרך היצר במקום שאדם יכול לתת תפילה אמיתית, הוא מביא לו ניצוצים של ייאוש. When a person starts working on himself, spiritually, start to get depressed, start to feel bad, start to see what's wrong with me, I'm a terrible person, there is no point. Those ניצוצים של ייאוש, those spark of disappointment, spark of depression, as Rav Ashla call it, those things, God forbid, can destroy every human being. They asked one time, the Baal Shem Tov, how should that work on ourselves? So you write note that say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the whole universe was created for me. And then he said, write another note that say, Da me'ain bata, mitipas rucha, from the Mishnah. You should know where you came from. And put one note on your right pocket and the other note in the left pocket. Of course, it's metaphor, meaning it just, you don't have to put it paper, just to remember that. When you feel you're the greatest, take the note on the left and say, where am I coming from? And put it back. When you feel you're the worst, take the paper, the right, say, Bishvili Nivra Olam. And that's how you keep yourself balanced. Because some people crush themselves and there is an ego there. What do you think? People who crush themselves, there is no ego. They feel so much miskinim, miserable.com kind of a thing, victim.com, you know, crying all the time. I'm the worst, I'm the worst, I'm the worst. If you're so worse, you're the worst, why you tell me about it? Let me tell you you're the worst. Can I tell you you're the worst? No. In every relationship I have this couple came to see me. So, very sweet. So the husband has a complaint. I said, husband, everybody said, okay, you get a chance to complain, you get a chance to complain. So the husband is funny. So the husband, what's your complaint? He said, my wife crushed herself so bad that I don't have get the chance to crush her. I said, what do you mean? He said, all day long she say, I'm the worst. No, I cannot add to it. Maybe I want to say something also, but batel pishishi, meaning it canceled. There is no value to my words. It's an ego. It's the worst ego to say that you are the worst. If you say you are the best, it's not as bad. Please repeat, remember my words. It's not as bad as you say I'm the worst. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, one of the greatest Kabbalists from Italy, right, there is two type of gava, two type of ego. Gava plimit ve gava chitzonit. Ego external and ego internal. The external ego, I want to show off. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto called that ego, childish ego. Gava yaldutit. It's not so bad. It can be correct. You want to show off. You drive your Ferrari, you put, you know, music and everybody need to hear you. Can be fixed. Everything, all this can be fixed. The ego can be fixed. Because people will judge you. Universe will fix you. But what about people who say, I'm the worst. There is no hope for me. That ego, very difficult to fix. Because nobody can say anything to you. Nobody can say anything to you, right? Or as my teacher would say to those people, what do we say to them? You're not that great to say that you are that small. You're not that great to say that you are that small. Only great people can say that they are that small. And for example, who it is, you ask my teacher, who is it? He'll tell you, Moses. Moses wrote on himself, Vaish Moshe Anav Me'od. And Moses, the man, is very humble. How can Moses write about himself? He's very humble. He reached such a madriga, such a level, that at that level, it's okay to say on yourself that you are that small. But when a person says all day long, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, it's an ego trip. Who are you talking about? You. All day long, you. I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm the worst, I'm the worst. There's no hope for me. There's no. What's your purpose? What do you try to achieve by that? What do you try to achieve by that? Nothing been done. I cannot help you because you're the worst. I can only feel mercy for you. And nothing going to happen. So that's, in psychology, they call that type of behavior victimization. When a person is a victim all day long. Victim.com. I always call those people victim.com. I don't know if there is a page, we should buy this page. No, victim.com. So these people, miskini, you know, poor me, poor me. And there is no hope. You cannot do nothing. I'm poor. What are you going to do about it? I don't want to do nothing about it because I want just to be poor and to tell people I'm poor. And then misery loves company. So where do you find the people sitting on the bar and they compare who is more miserable? They compare, actually. They sit, I'm the worst. Oh, you're the worst. Let me tell you how bad I am. And then they start talking to each other. It's a disaster. So Rav Ashlag said that the only reason people feel like that is there is a force out there. You can call it Satan, devil, whatever you want to call it. Yetzer hara, mevi lo nitzotzim shel yeush. If you feel depressed, you're in the middle of a war. It didn't come from you. Even that didn't come from you. There is a force out there that wants you to feel bad so you can never fight. Now, can you fight that? You feel the worst. ומביא לו ראיות והקשים, וקל וחומר שתפילתו לא תהיה חס ושלום לתועלת. In the middle of your pray, when you decide to be already spiritual, what happened? That voice starts whispering in your ear, you are the worst person. Why that voice didn't tell me I'm the worst before I steal money? Just 5 minutes before you steal money from someone, that voice should tell you you are the worst person. No. When is this voice come? When you come to pray, you're in Jerusalem, you say, dear God, I'm sorry for what I did. All of a sudden, the voice said, oh, why do you even say I'm sorry? You have no hope for you. So Rav Ashlag said, in the middle of your prayer, that voice starts whispering. עד שאין האדם מסוגל להאמין כי אתה שובע תפילת כל פה. The person starts losing his belief system that there is actually hope. But what is the hope? That there is a divine force that can help you with any problem that can happen. כי עניין התפילה היא עיקר הכלי להשרת השכינה, כי הוא נקרא בחינת תפילה לעני. What is the first prayer that enter the chamber of God? It's called Tfila La'ani. The prayer of the poor. The prayer of the poor. The prayer of the poor. If you don't feel poor, poor, meaning I need help. But you know that you're going to be okay, not because you're so smart, because you know how much the divine loves you. And that's why every morning, when you wake up in the morning, when do you start the first prayer? Modani, thank you, God, for bringing the soul back into my body. Why? Why you start like that? God needs you. Thank you. Eliyahu didn't say thank you today. Please write him in the book. There's a problem here. Is God checking everybody who say thank you to him? No. It's for me. When I have gratitude, when I have appreciation, everything is refreshing itself. After 30 years of marriage, somebody wake up next to his wife. I told you that story, right? Call me and say, Eliyahu, I'm getting divorced. Like, what happened? What, 30 years. Why now? Say, my wife have a big nose. I said to him, are you serious? Say, and I finally saw it. She was sleeping. My head was on the pillow. I turned. The nose was so large, and I don't like women with large nose. I said to him, are you going to divorce your wife for the large nose? Well, there is a lot of other problems, but the large nose is the main thing. The gratitude, the appreciation, it disappears. You start seeing big noses around. A different story. Laguna Beach, here in California. A person came to my class. We talk about the evil inclination, Satan, and all this and that. So the person raised their hand. I said, yes, what's the question? He said, is this possible that your wife is the Satan? I said, no, we don't believe a human can be a Satan. It's a force. It's a, you know, I want to talk to you in the end of class. So he talked to me. Okay. So the guy is he's a vegan and what else? He has his own refrigerator where he grow. I don't know, from the bean grows something there. Something, the green, and he cut them. And he makes his own shampoo from mix of herbs, and he also wear one of those masks not to breathe negativity. There is one little problem. His wife is a smoker. So how bad it is? So very bad. She have to smoke the last cigarette in bed. When we are in bed, I take my mask off and I go to sleep. And what she does every night, she lights a cigarette and she blows the smoke in his face. And he said, I'm already talked to the lawyer, we're getting divorced, like I can't take it anymore. But I'm sad because I love her, but I hate her. I said, can you give me a chance? Can I get involved a little bit, just a little bit chance? So yes, I said, invite me to your house, come to Laguna, we talk. So I thought I'm going to meet the most dangerous woman exist, you know? The wife come in, open the door, welcome me, there's a little bit of drink, and everything's nice. And I ask him, is this your wife? Yes. And he with the mask, yes. Okay. And I talked to her, I talked to him. I didn't say anything. I took him aside. I told him what I told him. A week after, both of them came to the lecture. A few girls happened to be here. Ask the man after the end of the lecture, they ask him if this is his wife or his lover. Because he spoke so bad about her, everybody thought this is his lover. So no, that's my wife. So everybody want to know what he did. What was the secret? So well, that night, she did the same thing, smoking again, and the same. So he told her that word, so beautiful. He said, honey, if you want to smoke, smoke in my face. Do it. But I'm really worried about you when you're smoking during the day. During the day, you're smoking at least 18, 19 cigarettes a day. It's really bad for you. The wife started crying and quit smoking on the spot. When we asked her, what happened? He said, this is the first time that I felt actually he cared about me and not about his health. You can do the right thing, but if your intention is the wrong intention, it is the wrong thing. I repeat again, you can do the right thing. It looks superficially perfect. Oh, you're a tzaddik, you're righteous. But why are you doing it? Why you smile to someone? You want their money? Why are you so kind? Because you want their attention? Why are you doing what you're doing? If every drive, from my point of view, is just to drive my selfish need, then of course, in the end, it will end up in a disaster way. I have to check my intention. So when my intention is wrong, I give birth to the negative force to give nitzotzim shel yeush, to bring a spark of depression while I'm doing something good. Because I mix good with bad. But if you are working more on your intention than working on your actual action, it's more important than anything. We are less than 2 months to Rosh Hashanah, months and a half, 40 days, 42 days actually, 48 days, what are we? 38 days. You want to work on something. Be real. Don't impress people by being real. Because that's the wrong intention. Don't impress God. God already forgive you. Don't worry about God. No matter what you're going to do, God loves you. The Talmud said, the only people that God don't like, the only people, is the one with the ego. The Talmud writes like this, En ani ve'u yecholim ladur bedira achat. When a person has ga'ava, God said, me and him cannot live in the same apartment. What about the killer? What about the thief? When a thief going to steal, he's still alive. Who give him the energy? Who keep him alive? The creator. A killer, who keep him alive? The creator. Ego, you disconnect yourself from everything. Ego has two types, remember, please. I am the best, I am the worst. I am the best, I am the worst. Whatever is I am, ego. I am the worst, ego. I am the best, ego. Don't be busy with you. You take care of it later. So when you come in front of the divine, if you believe in the divine, you've been forgiven. Come. People We got to do the work that they forgive us. Why? Because if somebody holding a grudge against you, or you holding something against somebody else, part of your soul is stuck at that moment in time. And that's why the Talmud writes, if you ask somebody for forgiveness 3 times and they don't want to forgive you, it's not your problem. Then, but if somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you forgive right away. Right away. What if they're really wrong? Not your business. It's not here, we're not here to correct people, guys. That's not our business. Forgiveness is not for the criminal. Forgiveness is for the victim to be released from the criminal. If a victim cannot forgive the criminal, the victim still stuck with the criminal in the same time, same place. They still attach. And you know what's going to happen? One of the things in psychology that I'm sure you're familiar with, it's called disassociate behavior. They relate disassociate behavior to women who went through violence, certain abuse, violence abuse, that they find themselves again in a different type of relationship with an abuse. And what the psychologists study, that happened because they can't let go of the first time and they keep inviting same situation again. There's a great book called The Secret. I'm sure you read it. You know, it's also written there. Be careful before Rosh Hashanah. The day that Adam and Eve were created, everybody needs to celebrate. Not just Jewish. Everybody. Every human. Every human needs to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not just for Jewish. Maybe it's a Jewish holiday. No. It's a human holiday. Human holiday, it's called. Human holiday. Human being created in Rosh Hashanah, that's your job. As a human, to recreate yourself. Is there any question you want to ask? Any question, something was not clear? Yes, please.
Yeah. Regarding asking for forgiveness, can you text 3 times, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me? That's it.
Attention. So intention. Your intention is not to do it 3 times. Your intention is to be forgiven. Don't forget this.
So it's best with a phone conversation or you can do it with a text?
It could be a simple conversation. And if it works well, you're lucky. You know, I don't believe in good luck or bad luck. I believe in the intention. You go with the right intention. I wouldn't tell you I had success all the time when I asked for forgiveness. Some people say I will never forgive you in any way. Some people slap me in the face. Some people did other things. So, but we need to do on our side, from our place, the best we can. Best we can. But we cannot fake. It has to be authentic. It has to be real. Life is very beautiful when you forgive everybody. You become free. True freedom is when you forgive people. That's a true freedom. Freedom is when you're no longer holding any grudge. And some people went through some tough time. Some people, their money been taken away from them. All their money been taken away. So sad. So sad. And they look at the people who took all their money. How does it feel? Terrible. Or it become an opportunity for you to create yourself. Depends how you want to look at it. You can look at it like, it's my opportunity to create new me. Or it's an opportunity for me to feel sad and hating everybody. It's a choice. Being victim is a choice, guys. You choose. You want to become miserable? You have the right reason to become miserable. Or you want to say, from this moment on, I'm going to become the leader. And I had to tell you, I was one time in the Miami Arena basketball game, and the player, I'm trying to remember the name, and I was invited to sit on the floor so I can hear the conversation. It was not so much fun because there's fear that the ball will come into your face or a player jump on you. So I'd rather sit in the chair. But you sit there and you hear. You hear the player, you hear thing. And so I'm trying to remember. Dwayne, don't know, last name, Wade. Number 3. And Reed?
Wade.
Dwayne Wade. So he's at the tough game, it was final, and everybody's teammate against him, the referee against him, everything can go wrong. And it was a moment, he sit with himself, and he starts saying to all his teammates, I love all of you, I love you, my brother. And he took the game to his hand, and he actually started scoring like crazy. It was the second half. It was a beautiful game. I think it was against Dallas in the final. And when I was looking at it, I said, wow, he could become a victim and feel sad, or he can rise above that. So you want to know what's going to be for you next year. You want to know what's going to be for you next year? I'll tell you what's going to be for you next year. What do you think you deserve for next year? What do you think you want for next year? That's what's going to be for you next year. If you cannot forgive yourself, you're stuck. If you cannot forgive people, you're stuck. So the forgiveness is not kind of a medals behavior. It's unstuck yourself from an area. And then whatever you want will happen to you. But if I want to give you water, if I want to give you champagne, and you have no room where to put it, what do you want me to do? The divine comes and said, I want to give you money. Do you have a wallet? No. You have a bank account? No. Can you hold it? No. Do you have pocket? No. So what do you want to do? I want to feel miserable that I don't have money. Okay. That's what you want. I can help you with that. I will make you even more miserable. But if you said, I want this year to make my first million, or my first billion, or whatever it is. I want to be happy all day long. I want to find the love of my life. Whatever that you desire, or to be healthy. All of this is in your hand. But do the work. Do the forgiveness. And as the Rav said before, Rosh Hashanah, don't look at it some event that you eat apple with honey. Look at it like a war. You're going to a war to rewrite, to reprogram how the year is going to be. Is everybody can reprogram? Of course. But when you go there, just sit and understand, am I capable to feel that I deserve all the goodness that exists? How do you know I'm going to deserve? Forgive yourself. If you forgive yourself, and it's real, it's internal, it's all open up for you. And don't listen to all those religious leaders who tell you, you should feel bad, you should hate yourself. It doesn't go anywhere. Feeling depressed doesn't work. Why? Because there is pasuk, there is a verse that say, "En arur midabek bebaruch." When a person feels cursed, the baruch, meaning God, will not get closer to that person. God say, "Okay, until you don't feel good about yourself, I'm going to wait outside." When you start to feel good about yourself, God say, "Now there is a relationship between us. Now I can be with you. Now there is something that we can do together." Did you want to say something? Oh,
yeah.
Yes? Should I give you the chair or should I grab a chair? Oh, maybe I have a chair. I move to the side. Okay. I know Debbie want to say something.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share.
Should I leave it on or?
No, it doesn't bother me. Hi, everybody. I wanted to share about the Rav, our teacher. And it's interesting. You were talking about a couple of things that I learned from the Rav. The first one is about intentions. So one of the things I learned is that, you know, you've heard the saying that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. If you want to help people, if you want to help someone, if you truly care about someone, and the result is not positive, there was something that went wrong on the way. There was something not pure on the way. And it's all about the intention when we're talking about forgiveness. If you want the forgiveness just because you want to check it off your list that you did the list for Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to get forgiveness. It's not going to be real. The intention has to be the forgiveness because you need it for you, not for the other person. You need it for you.
Just make it tougher for me now. I have to go back to those people.
he's forgiven already. And the second thing is, I don't usually talk about this, but and I act like it doesn't bother me, but something really bothered me today. And I want everyone to understand Kabbalah is a wisdom that is for everybody. And we study Kabbalah from the greatest, Rav Ashdod, Rav Braunwein, the Rav, and it's not copyrighted. It doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to all of us. And the Rav always said that if you are busy with what your karma is, what your ego is, I think Eliyahu even has a story about ego where he tried to work on his ego and he would talk really, really quietly. And Rav looked at him and said, no, 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 like, what are you doing? Like, you're so busy with yourself. You know, there's a lot of people who come and ask questions. And I had a conversation last week with someone. She came to ask questions, not because she wanted to be able to share with somebody, but she came to ask questions to gain it for herself. And the Rav always said, if you're busy with your karma, with your tikkun, with your ego, you're busy with yourself. We don't have time. We don't have time to be busy with ourselves. We have to change the world, one person at a time. So I think that before Rosh Hashanah, if you can think of one person outside of your circle of family and friends that you have to take care of, and you can help them, if each one of us does that, we'll make a difference.